right. Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of HP Critical, a podcast where my friends and I talk all things gaming. I am Jarell, and I am joined by Kelly.
Hi, everybody.
And Brandon. What's up, people? What?
I said, what's up, people?
Oh, and...
Saba.
Okay.
Don't worry about it. Just go.
Okay. And Gabe.
Good evening, everybody.
So yeah, I would go into, you know, how you guys doing, how you been, what you plan, but we don't have time for that today, so we're gonna move on straight into a game of 20 questions, because I said that I want to get your brains riled and going and ready to work. So what better way than to start with a game of 20 questions? Now, I asked you guys if you wanted easy, medium, or hard, and I implied that I had a choice. And I don't. You don't have a choice. So, because I don't, like, I only know one game that I just got the notification, so I hope I didn't start too early. Whatever. I only know one game for today that you guys are going to be guessing. So, yeah, go ahead. Let the questioning begin.
Cool. Question one. Is this a console exclusive?
No.
Okay.
Interesting. Starting off with a variety game.
You are so nasty.
Variety game. Indeed.
How was that nasty?
I wasn't talking to you.
Oh. Alright, so it's not a console exclusive. Is it a... No, I don't want to ask that question. I hate that question.
Hey, ask me the question before you ask Jarell.
I was going to ask...
If you ask it out loud, I'm counting it. I'm just kidding. Come on, guys. Get those gaming brains going. This
game
is the...
Okay.
Yeah. This is hype up.
Was this game released 2020 or later?
No. Actually, was it? No. Actually, what's it? No. I'm going to say no. Don't read into me not knowing. Just, I'm going to say no.
Okay, so not totally.
Is the game... Wait a minute. Was this... Oh, no, not that question, because I'm probably saying that wrong. Was this game released as a 6v6 multiplayer game?
No.
It's not Overwatch. I thought we were going to be making fun of Overwatch to start the podcast.
Wow. We will, but just not to start the podcast.
Not to start the podcast. All right.
Damn.
Well,
that was stumbling.
It's actually not hard. It's actually pretty easy.
Okay.
You just got to ask the right questions.
Is it a horror game?
It is not.
Okay. Shocker.
We're running out of time. If you don't get this in the... Yeah, we have a time limit for this because we got more stuff to do.
Is this game...
No. No, I'm just kidding.
Wow, my God. Oh, it can't be a first party because it's not console exclusive. No, is it a AAA game?
Yes.
Okay.
Is it in a series?
No. Good question, though.
That's kind of hard. All the games I know are series.
I mean, every... Yeah.
Shit.
All right, I'm just going to shoot out a publisher. Is this game made by Square Enix?
No.
Okay.
Is this game multiplayer?
Yes.
No, the first one I said
didn't
was 6v6. I said 6v6 multiplayer.
Yeah, he was going for the hype.
Yeah, he asked if it is a 6v6 multiplayer.
Is this game a battle royale?
Yes.
Wait, okay.
Oh.
Does this game... Oh, no, it can't be Apex Legends because that's a series. It's Titanfall.
Okay. I would not at all call Apex Legends a Titanfall series.
does this game sometimes win, or has it won in the past 5 years, best ongoing?
I don't know. Let me check. I actually don't know. Probably.
Okay. Does this game have grappling hooks?
No. What game has grappling hooks?
What game are you thinking about?
Apex has grappling hooks.
Oh.
I figured I'd press
it. It did. It did win. In the past 5 years.
I know what it is then.
Oh, then you keep up with the questions because I don't know what the fuck he's talking about.
I mean, should I just guess though? I'm pretty sure I know what it is.
It's up to you. If you get it wrong, you fail.
Okay. Okay. Let me just ask.
Okay.
Can you floss in this game?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
In this game, do people in regards to this game make the main phrase, "Where are we dropping today, boys?"
I don't think I've ever heard you say that out loud, and the answer is yes.
Okay.
Does this game have a ton of collabs?
Okay, we're not doing this. Please just guess. I don't want to know.
Game is Fortnite.
Yes, the game was Fortnite. It was not
the game
hard.
Does have grappling hooks.
It does?
Fortnite has grappling hooks?
It's had grappling hooks, and now it has another version of grappling hooks, but yes.
What version?
Oh.
There's literally been an item you can pick up.
I was legit just playing the other day. I ain't seen no grappling hooks. I've decided you're a liar. You might be telling the truth, but I don't believe you.
I am telling the truth.
Okay, sure, buddy. Anywho, so, now that your brains are riled up, we're gonna do gaming news, and then we're gonna talk about Zelda. Okay, is that cool with you guys?
Yeah.
I hope so, because we're doing it. So, first up, the first piece of gaming news that I want to talk about when I get my screen clear, oh my gosh, is there's an article over at thegamer.com titled, "It's hard to imagine PlayStation ever releasing a game as bad as Redfall. One flop like Redfall doesn't mean Xbox has lost its way, but the fact that Sony's standards is so much higher certainly plays a role here." This is written by Eric Schweitzer, and the question that I posed for you guys is, I have it here. Well, first of all, if you have any thoughts about just this article in general, I'm not going to read it. Pretty much the title gives it away about how it feels, as does the tagline. But do you guys think that PlayStation has figured out the formula for good first-party and exclusive titles? And if so, what are your thoughts on articles like this? And if not, like, why not? Like, why would you think?
I gotta be fully transparent here. My actual thoughts aside, that title reads off a little fanboy, I must say.
Okay.
Just like, it's hard to imagine PlayStation releasing a flop like Redfall. Like, I think any of the companies are capable of releasing something that just doesn't come out well at all. Is PlayStation less likely than Xbox? I think these days, certainly. Like, Xbox certainly has a lot to prove, especially after Redfall. But there's an entirely high possibility that PlayStation could do it too.
But now, they haven't.
If we're looking, they haven't, exactly. So the track record speaks for itself, certainly. And like, if that's where the headline was going with that, then sure. But I'm just saying, like, it's just not impossible, is what I'm saying. Nintendo's release flop, Xbox release flop, PlayStation release flop, and sometimes it's not even like the quality of the game, sometimes it just doesn't hit, like, financially wise. Like, Destruction All-Stars was fine, but that game died in like 2 days, basically.
But it wasn't a bad game that was released.
It was not, exactly.
That's the point.
That was speaking to my latter point. Like, a game could be good, it just may not hit with audience, you know? Redfall, hypothetically, if it had released well, we have to ask the question of whether or not it would
have. No, we don't have to answer the question. The answer is no, it was a bad game.
Okay.
Is that what you were going to say?
No, I was saying that if it was good, like would it have, you know, because it was an online focused game where you play with friends, would it have gotten the community it needed to, like, you know, to be sustained in the way it needed to? I don't know the answer, and we won't know because of how it launched. But yeah, I'll rest for now in case anyone has any other thoughts.
Kelly or Brandon?
Like, I wrote the title.
I'm sorry, Kelly or Gabe, do you think it's hard for PlayStation? Is it hard to imagine PlayStation ever releasing a game as bad as Redfall?
I would say no, only because you can't always make a hit.
It's not asking if you can't always make a hit. It's saying, can you make a game as bad as Redfall? You can make a bad game.
I know, but like, what?
But a game as bad as Redfall is
so
the question.
I'm going to use the example, I guess, okay. Sony put their name on it, but they didn't make the game. So I don't know about Redfall, but did like Microsoft make Redfall?
Well, Arkane developed Redfall, but Microsoft purchased them, and they were making a version of Redfall that was also for PlayStation, and then Microsoft was like, no, you can't! So they had to scrap their PlayStation version only to make it Microsoft exclusive. So they published it, they didn't develop it, and apparently they had some issues where they were supposed to have... They had started working with other developers in-house to fix the game, but they started on that track too late. So by the time that the game was ready for release, they didn't get the help from Microsoft, Microsoft's other development teams that were purchased that they were supposed to get. And so the game came out with a ton of bugs.
So, yeah, thank you for that clarifying information. I'm going to use an example then of a game, a little game you might know that was released by Sony, PlayStation, was PlayStation exclusive, called No Man's Sky. So yes, I can imagine a horrible game that came out with a ton of like issues, and yes. But yeah, it was like made by someone else, but Sony published it, whatever. It was PlayStation exclusive. It was terrible. People hated it. People got refunds. That was like never before happening. But yeah, so I can't imagine it.
I don't know. I feel like PlayStation's kind of learned their lesson by now. Like, I don't see them.
They say no to a lot.
Yeah, like they're very selective of like the game. As far as we know. Like yeah, as far as we know, they're very selective to the games that they are publishing, right? Like the next one is going to be Final Fantasy 16, which is essentially going to be huge. The Humanity just came out, I think that's a PlayStation exclusive that came to really good reviews. Like PlayStation's actually utilizing the studios that they purchased and giving them help, whereas in this case Microsoft did not give Arkane the help they needed to make Redfall, and that's where the difference is between the two companies. So I think it would be very hard for PlayStation to come out with a bad game now. I think they're far too selective on, you know, what they're working on. Anyway, Gabe, do you have anything before I move on?
Nah, I'm good.
Really?
What am I gonna do? Are you against Sony?
I don't know.
That title sounds like I'm the one that wrote it.
Fair. You did say it sounds like a title that you would write. Okay, so development for Nintendo's new console seems to be progressing well, but a product launch won't happen before next spring at the earliest, according to a source from Nintendo. This is a tweet from Mario64 on Twitter. So what are you guys' thoughts on when the console could be released and other predictions, such as potential launch games, and whether this would be the right time to have it? This is now 6 years of the Switch.
Right.
We're going on 6 years. If it hasn't already reached the 6th year anniversary, we're going on 6 years of the Switch being launched. And okay, so we're past 6 years. Thank you. We're past 6 years of the Switch being launched. And usually life cycles for gaming consoles are around 7 years, 6-7 years. So it's about that time for the Switch to be clicked out. Get it? Because you, the click.
Get it.
So yeah, there are potential rumors of developments for the next console. Thoughts?
I mean, you know, Nintendo, all game companies are always thinking about their next console. And yeah, like you said, we are 6 years into the Nintendo Switch. There are definitely games coming out now that are starting to show that they are struggling with the current hardware. I haven't heard many issues. We're going to get into it later. We haven't heard many issues about Tears of the Kingdom as of yet. At least I haven't, at least from what I've seen. So, but it seems like that game is pushing the Switch to its limits. I feel like we are probably, inevitably we're going to have to get a new console as the ambition grows and they need to, like, do better stuff. And they said spring at the earliest. I mean, I guess I can kind of see that. The Switch was just like, you know, it was given that one trailer in like October of 2016, and then it just came out in March. Well, they had one more presentation between that, but it was definitely a different type of marketing compared to other consoles. I feel like they could probably do the same thing. Nintendo will just like, you know what? Hey, we're ready to tell you all about that next console. Here's a trailer, and wait maybe a few months for more details, and then it's just coming out. Because it worked really well for the Switch. People thought it wasn't going to, but it did. So, and then spring at the earliest, I wouldn't be surprised if it came out a little later, but maybe history will repeat itself. I'm not sure.
So anyone who's watching this live, hopefully you can see it, but the original Switch launch commercial is playing, and Rooftop Karen is there as, and that was like such a great meme, as were the guys who were playing basketball, who all just decided to stop playing basketball to then go play basketball on their Switch. So yeah, great times. Go ahead, Gabe.
I think it's a little farther away than next spring. You know, that's obviously, like the article said, that's the earliest. But I definitely think that they're going to push it a little farther based on two things. One, well, no, that really wouldn't count. That'd be what I think, because I was going to say, based on how this year goes for them in terms of Switch games, but we don't know what the fuck they're going to put out. They do, so that doesn't really count. But I do think, like everyone's saying, yeah, it's time to put the Switch to rest. I don't know. I'm not ready for a new Nintendo console unless it's like something, what's the word? I guess captivating. Cause like, I don't know what, like, cause we know, I don't think it's going to be a handheld or hybrid handheld. I don't think so. I think with as much flack as everyone's been giving Nintendo about how the Switch isn't really, I guess, powerful, whatnot, I think they're like, okay, let's just go back to the home console for a second. So I definitely think it's not going to be something like the Switch. It's going to be a more powerful home console.
And I don't know about that, homie. It's possible.
We should play some bets on this.
I'm not saying it's impossible, because Nintendo going to be Nintendo. Maybe they have like some really great idea that requires them to keep it home console again. I just feel like having the ability to play games literally anywhere on your console was just such a slam dunk of an idea, that the idea of like discarding it to do whatever might be their new idea, or just more powerful, be a more powerful console, just seems, it seems like they'd be shooting themselves in the foot. But again, this is Nintendo, so you know, that's always possible.
I think it'd be really hard to...
They could, sorry. I was going to say, they could go back to home console and handheld. Like the 3DS and the
they most certainly could.
It's the best way to make money. Make people buy more than one.
Like, who else is really going to give them competition in the handheld department for the next couple of years? Like, you know, the Steam Deck came out, and that the Asus ROG, was it? I don't remember the specific name for it, but it's another PC handheld. They came out, and sure, you know, they did get a lot of their fans. Asus not so much, because that shit costs like $700. So it's like, really, who's gonna challenge them in the handheld department for the next couple of years? Unless Sony's like, you know what, let's make a PSP again, or you know, Xbox throws their shit in the basket. Like, we can't do home console really well, so let's do handheld.
Well, you can already play stuff handheld on Xbox.
Which is with very true. Gaming. Actually, yeah, no,
you can also do the same thing with PlayStation, technically.
Yeah, but it's not the same as PSP.
No, of course not. I just think it'd be really hard to get people to invest in multiple, like, streams again if you went straight back to home console. But what do I know? Nothing. Well, just kidding.
Gabe, I actually have a question to pose in this regard, because Gabe was talking about the possibility of them going back to a home console and handheld ecosystem. What if, in your hypothetical, what if they didn't do a handheld, they just kept the Switch going, but then also had like a dedicated like home console? Like, I'll give you an example. Let's say Mario Kart 9 launched game for the new console, but there's also a Switch version, so you can play it handheld. So you have the option of playing, like, you know, I don't know, this is hypothetical, 4K console exclusive Mario Kart 9, or you could play, have the option to play it on the go Switch, just not look as good. Is that something you could see happening in your example?
So ideally, like a Steam Deck and your PC.
Yeah, I guess so. I guess it'd be the best in comparison.
No, because he literally said, I'm going off of what Gabe said. His statement was, Nintendo knows that people are complaining about the Switch and its capabilities. So, like, if you make a home console, then you're still going to have to downscale all your games to be able to also be played on a six-year-old system that people are complaining about, because you can only get 1080p handheld. So how does that solve the solution? It just sounds like it just makes more issues, no? Like, it just would make everything more apparent how outdated the Switch is.
But what would the problem with that be if the Switch is outdated? Because that's what everyone's saying. Everyone's saying the Switch is outdated.
Yes, so Brandon was asking, if I'm not mistaken, he was asking, like, what about the probability of keeping the Switch and then developing a home console? And I'm saying, but that would literally not solve the issue of the Switch being outdated. That would just exacerbate how badly the Switch is outdated, so then what's the point of keeping it? Because then you're going to have to do what you did with Breath of the Wild, which is now you're going to have to develop games in a way that they can be played on both, but you're going to be held back by the capabilities of the Switch.
Yeah. In the hypothetical, I was, like, talking about, like, it would... I guess there's a precedent for it, kind of-ish, where the Switch came out, but Nintendo supported the 3DS for, like, 2 more years, where 3DS... I guess it's kind of the reverse of that, actually, because they had a dedicated handheld system and then a system that could do both. This would be the opposite of that, where it'd be, like, a dedicated console.
Home system,
console
yeah.
That could do both, yeah. So, Gabe's point, it's like you said, Jero, it wouldn't solve the issue, but it's something that could potentially happen. I feel that possibility is more likely than Nintendo just straight up making 2 consoles again, 1 handheld, 1 console, and keeping that ecosystem completely separate. Like,
especially,
I'm just saying the Switch is like still doing crazy numbers. So if a new console did only ask people to only be able to play that console, I feel like the Switch would still have some life in it, even if the games wouldn't be as good.
Oh, I don't disagree. Yeah, I agree that the Switch would still have life. But then I'm thinking, especially because of handheld exclusive titles that are no longer handheld because of the Switch, right? So we're looking at stuff like Fire Emblem and Pokemon, all these games that we were actually able to play on TV or choose to play handheld. Like, what do you do then if you're developing these games? Do you just stick to the Switch because you've gotten to the portable version? Can you just not go back to the portable version because now you've got this new home console thing? Like, the Switch allowed so many... I'm talking too much about this. But it allowed so many... Oh! It allowed so many games that were previously just handheld to be home console, right? And, like, what do you do? Do you just go back? Like, what do you do? Sorry, I'm so sorry, Kelly is back. She got disconnected, but she's back. And, we're gonna move on to, iPads, because they're tech.
Sorry, it just reminded me, my iPad has been stuck on the starting screen for, it's dead.
All right, well, Apple has announced that its Mac-exclusive apps Final Cut Pro and Logic Pro are coming to iPads in May. You may be wondering, why is that important? Well, I'll tell you. For a very, very long time, Apple has separated their iPads from their MacBooks, right? They've made decisions internally that do not allow you to use your iPad as a laptop, which makes sense, because if you could use your iPad as a laptop, why would you need the laptop, right? Whatever. So it turns out that they've decided to change their minds on this, and coming May, 2 products that lots of people use quite often, which are going to be Final Cut Pro and Logic Pro, are now going to be available on the Mac. The question is, do you think they finally did this because their Macs aren't selling as good recently, or if the iPads have finally caught up in power?
Yeah.
This is your question.
I guess I'll be the last one to answer it then.
You should probably be the first, because I don't think either one of them has an iPad. So
the reason I said be last is because I actually don't know.
Oh, great!
Look, judging without even knowing. Unbelievable.
Kelly, do you use your iPad?
Yeah, I have an iPad Pro and a MacBook Pro, and I use the iPad a lot, to be honest. But it's just for watching Twitch and watching, like, cartoons, mostly. The MacBook I use for, like, schoolwork and any, like, papers that I have to write.
Reinforcing the point. You can't use your iPad as a MacBook. So hopefully now with this,
but
maybe
also,
they'll...
Mm-hmm. I'm also one of those people, though, that even if I could use the iPad as a laptop, I wouldn't, like, because I'm so, like, I want things to be used for what they're, like, meant to be for, you know? Oh, this is Beast. He's the terror. He's an unholy terror from hell.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
He is. He destroys shit every day. It's okay. It's fine.
But that's what they're making the iPad for. They're now giving you the ability to use some of those apps that are Mac exclusive.
Well, they should. Because with the pencil and... Oh, my God. but like, okay, so the iPad, it makes sense because of like they have the pencil and everything, so like drawing stuff, it should be able to use all those apps.
Gabe?
Yeah, so one of the reasons I got the iPad was because I thought it'd be easier to edit stuff like video and whatnot, but it turned out being poopy because everything that's not their Final Cut Pro, it's kind of, it's too much. Like, I ended up downloading, what was the name of the app? LumaFusion or something like that. Because I saw everyone on YouTube talk about it. I was like, okay, let me try that out.
Yeah, I use LumaFusion for this podcast.
It's so hard for me to grasp. I looked at it. I was like, I just wasted however much money it was. So I just end up editing on my actual PC. So this is nice for me, I guess. I don't know if I'm going to go ahead and drop, was it, I think it's $50 a year,
because unlike
the Mac versions of those apps, you have to pay a subscription instead of a one-time thing. But I don't know, it's hard to decide whether the iPad is caught up in power or whether the Mac isn't doing it, because a lot of people I know use Macs, but they don't buy them every year, and every year Apple's like, hey, we have a new Mac that's 1% better than the one from last year. So,
like their phones.
Yes.
Brandon's like, I'm an Android user. This is not new to me. All right. Yeah, I agree. So moving on. I'm looking at time. I'm sorry, y'all. I'm trying to keep a tight schedule. So this is a fun one. A world-renowned Japanese development team is now creating ambitious new action adventure IP. Who? You might be surprised to find out it's Game Freak, the same people who can't make a Pokemon game run right on the Switch. That was really mean. I love Game Freak and I love Pokemon. I take that back. So yeah, Private Division is a publishing label of Take-Two Interactive Software. They announced that a partnership to publish a new title from Game Freak is coming. Founded in 1989, Game Freak is obviously most known for creating more than 30 entries in the Pokemon franchise, which is widely recognized as one of the best-selling game series of all time. Project Division will publish a brand new action-adventure IP from Game Freak, codenamed Project Bloom. They have unveiled the first piece of concept art of the game, and it's in our chat if you guys haven't seen it, and it basically looks like it's going to be a feudal Japan action adventure title. And here's a quote from Kota Furushima, the director at Game Freak. Quote, from the beginning, Private Division was the publisher we wanted to work with on our new game. Their track record and global expertise give us all the confidence to create a sweeping new action adventure game that we can't wait to share more about in the future. So yeah, I guess we're going to find out whether it's the Switch or whether it's Game Freak that made Pokemon bad. So yeah, sorry. Thoughts on the Game Freak Pokemon company making an action-adventure IP with Take-Two?
Hear me out. The Ancient Pokemon Wars.
They're literally not making a Pokemon game.
Did they say that?
Yeah. They literally show that this is not a Pokemon game. It is a brand new IP. It is not Pokemon.
Ancient Animal Wars that look similar to Pokemon.
I highly doubt that they're doing anything in the Pokemon realm.
That's a bummer. I don't want to play the game now.
What?
Well, I have a question before I give my thoughts. With them doing this partnership with Private Division, is that like a lot more staff that they'd be having at their disposal? Okay, we don't know. Let's say it is. So I will give.
Game why are you Freak... saying it is?
What?
Why are you going with the let's say it is instead of let's say it's not?
Because I have something for that.
Okay. I was just curious as to why you would give them the benefit of the doubt for that.
But let me finish the first. Like let's say for example, it does give them more staff. So I'll give Game Freak two benefits of the doubt. The first is, despite the fact that they are in charge of making the flagship series for the biggest if not the biggest media franchise in the world, and yet it's still a relatively small studio, is kind of trash, but that's another story. But I think that's part of the reason why it's difficult for them to make the latest Pokemon games run well, even though they're, like, Pokemon Scarlet and Violet, I think pretty much everyone that's played it agrees that they're really good games. They're just, like, mired by technical issues. So knowing that and their track record of other games, I think there's a different potential there. The second thing is I feel like whatever this new project is will have, you know, it's not locked down to a rigid schedule of release, and I think they'll release it when it's ready. So with those two things, I think this can potentially be something really good. And Game Freak, in their history, has, you know, obviously the most well-known for Pokemon, but they've done other series. Like, they did this really good GBA game called, what was it called, Drill Dozer. They did this really good rhythm game called Harmonite. They've done different genres.
Is Drill Dozer an action-adventure game?
It's a side-scrolling action-adventure game. But that was made, like, in 2005. Or maybe 2006. Either way. Yeah, so this... If your question is whether they've done this genre before, I don't think so. Like, anything that they've done really outside of, like, the monster collecting game has been either, like, side-scrolling platformers or rhythm games. Like, but they've done other genres is where I'm getting at with this. So with the potential expertise of another studio and doing something like this, I think they could do it, honestly. I think if they're given enough time and resources, they can do it. If they're not given the resources, then it's up in the air. But I think at the very least they'll have the time.
All right, well, I'm going to be the Debbie Downer. Not... I don't want another Feudal Japan action-adventure game. I feel like we have a lot of those, and I think they do well on their own.
They're coming out more frequently now, aren't they, though?
Like, yeah.
Ghost of Tsushima was, like, a pretty big example, but we also got, like, Sekiro.
Yes. and the sequel to that. Yes. I don't want another one. That's just a personal thing.
They have been a little more common lately. I will give you that. And I think, didn't a recent-ish State of Play also talk about another upcoming?
Like, I believe so, yeah.
Yeah,
So
it seems to be the wave now, I guess.
Yeah, a wave I don't want to ride. Hey, thank you, Brandon, because that was good.
It was good. Maybe to Gabe's point, this action-adventure game we'll have you go fight, like, yokai, and that'll be similar to, like, collecting Pokemon or
whatever. Look, we're fighting some type of fucking monster, believe me.
I just feel like, before you branch out, you should fix in-house first. So,
Yeah, Xbox.
I'll leave... What? I was talking about Pokemon. Like... It would be
interesting/cool to see if a Game Freak game outside of Pokemon can reach mainstream success. Because a lot of those other games I mentioned, they become hits. You
know, nobody cares who develops games anymore. No one's, like, no, I don't think it is. I don't think that the average consumer cares that Game Freak made this action-adventure game as long as it looks good. It'll probably be a nice note to add, but I don't think they're going to be like, oh, Game Freak made this? I have decided one way or another how I feel about it. If it's a more established one like Activision Blizzard, then sure. But, like, when studios brand... I don't... Okay. So, moving on. Let's talk about Xbox, since Gabe brought it up. I love talking about Xbox. It's all we seem to talk about here at A3 Critical.
Of course, something negative.
Maybe this one's positive.
I doubt it.
Positive. Let's find
it's
out.
Positive for them.
Okay, well, Electronic Arts CEO Andrew Wilson responded to Xbox's ongoing attempt to acquire Activision Blizzard, saying that it's not really material to EA whether the deal goes through or not. Speaking on a call following EA's most recent round of earnings, Wilson said EA is Microsoft's biggest partner, while claiming that it is the number one publisher on their platform. I didn't know that. Quote, so whether the deal goes through or not is not really material to us broadly, Wilson finished. We think we have the scale, again, back to our network, our IP, and our talent to continue to navigate the future and lead the future of entertainment and compete in a marketplace regardless of whether that deal goes through or not. talking about the broader trend of industry consolidation, Wilson said he would love for EA to have the scale to be a meaningful consolidator. Quote, I think we have tremendous assets with respect to the future of entertainment, but as it stands today, we're indifferent as to whether this goes through or not. We think we have an incredible strategy, we feel like we have an incredible opportunity, and whether it goes through or not, we'll continue to be the number one publisher on Microsoft, on the Microsoft platform. Yeah. So, what do we think about that quote?
Man, you make one good game in however many years, and all of a sudden your head's baked again.
Okay, but EA has, in fairness, EA has a ton of games. I think, I don't know if it would be fair to still call them the biggest, like, company under Microsoft if the Activision Blizzard goes through. I feel like that would not be a fair comparison, because I could tell you about FIFA and The Sims, and, you know, I don't know, what else does EA publish? Bunch of bullshit, probably. They do Dance Dance, no?
No, that's Ubisoft.
Oh, shit.
Wait, Dance Dance Revolution or Just Dance? Either way, it's not EA.
Oh my god, Brandon. Thank you, Brandon. Thank you.
EA accounted for more than 16% of monthly active users on Xbox and PlayStation platforms.
16 or 60?
16%. 16.
That's a lot.
Yeah, making it the top publisher for MUAs on those platforms for 6 months. That was from September 2022 to January 2023. So he wasn't wrong.
Well, yeah, no, I don't think he's wrong at all. I just think, like, okay, well, I didn't say what I think about this quote. It just seems like all these companies involved in this have been very catty, I guess. I don't know. I don't want to say catty, because I feel like that's not the right word. But, like, it almost seems like everyone's just trying to fight for their spot at Microsoft now. Like, every time I hear something, it's always just like, oh, I don't need this deal, we're fine as it is, or we need this deal because we need to make this work, or Xbox said we can't make what we want to make, and it's almost like no one at Xbox is talking to any of the developers that are working on anything there, and it seems much more like independent companies, more so than at Nintendo and PlayStation when they work with developers, where it seems like, okay, everyone's huddled together to make the best product. It's just so strange, because now EA is just coming out like, yeah, we don't need this. We don't need this merger. We're good enough on our own. And you know what? They're right, because they don't need it, because I'm just going to go play The Sims. Yeah, anyone else want to hop in on this before I move on?
I don't think I have much to add, honestly.
Okie dokie. Next up, Sony players may have a longer rollout for updates with Season 3 Reloaded on Infinity War. Please ensure you have the new Warzone DLC update installed in order to play Warzone. This is from the Infinity Ward Twitter. Why is this interesting? Because a while back we talked about, I don't know, Kelly was here, I believe, when we talked about this. A while back we talked about how there were concerns that the... What is going on with my computer? I'm sorry. There were concerns that Microsoft and Activision Blizzard would give issues to PlayStation players regarding Call of Duty if the merger went through. So now there's some speculation that this is the beginning of that, because conversations for contracts with PlayStation and Call of Duty have not been renewed recently. Gabe,
did they
thanks.
Give a reason when they tweeted that out?
No.
Yeah, that's not unexpected.
It's suspect.
It really probably is like the behind the scenes thing that we probably have an idea about that they're just probably not at liberty to say, to be quite frank. Yeah, that is there is a bigger story behind this rather unassuming headline, isn't there? Like, why is the season 3 being delayed? What will it entail when it eventually comes out? How much is this merger or lack thereof going to affect that? I think this is probably...
According to Phil Spencer, it's not going to affect it at all.
According to Phil Spencer, indeed. Yeah, so, but then you would expect it to come soon. I feel like there's not much to say about this yet, but I think this is probably a story we'll have to like pay attention to as we go forward.
Makes sense.
It could end up being nothing, honestly. But it could end up being something.
Well, there is something that we can talk about now that we don't have to wait on later. Capcom has sold more games in the last fiscal year than in any other in its entire history. The company's share price also hit an all-time high. Now, the question is, do you guys think that, well, first of all, this year, Capcom has had a lot of remakes. Like, almost essentially everything they've released has been almost, not everything, but almost everything has been a remake. So the question is, what does this mean for remakes from Capcom? Are we going to see an influx of even more remakes? Should we be concerned that all we're gonna get is remakes because that's what they see as making the money? What do you guys think?
To be fair, they remade their cash cow Resident Evil 4.
They're still doing it.
So long. So, like, I don't know if it's necessarily remakes in general or if they just cashed in on that really popular remake that people wanted. I don't know. But I think it worked for them.
Yeah. To Kelly's point, yes, Resident Evil 4 was their huge cash cow, and it is indeed getting them a lot of money. I would like to bring up another one as well that came out this year, however. Mega Man Battle
yes.
Network Legacy Collection,
mm-hmm.
which I think I read somewhere that is like their best-selling Mega Man collection right now. Like, people go hard for Battle Network, and with all the stuff they added to this one, it was definitely a good value for a lot of people. So, yeah, between those two games that have come out this year, they've been rolling in it, and, you know, Street Fighter VI is supposed to be coming in later this year, which... from the marketing and general excitement that I'm seeing from people online, seems like it's also going to be like a huge sales success. Potentially bigger than any of the Street Fighter games in recent years, but I guess we'll see. Yeah, no, I feel like there are going to be a lot more remakes and collections coming because Capcom has a huge library of like games that they have seldom re-released. It's almost as vast as Nintendo's, if not greater. They could honestly make a whole bunch of money doing either remasters of some of those old games that have been forgotten or doing collections like Battle Network or whatever. There'll definitely be more Mega Man collections, that's for damn sure. Like, whatever series, they haven't done Legends, they haven't done Star Force. There's still Mega Man games out there that can be packaged together that for people to rebuy. So they'll do that for sure. But yeah, no, there's so many games that they have in the past. I don't think it's going to completely, like, obliterate, like, making new games. Like, I think games like Street Fighter 6 and the upcoming Exo Primal will still come out.
Exo Primal!
Yeah, that got a mention today. Anyway.
First of all, Exo Primal is going to be great, okay? I do want to fight dinosaurs in mech suits because that's the best made game ever.
I would like to try it. It looks like it'd be fun. But yeah, no. There'll be some new games coming, but yeah, no. With the sales that these remakes / re-releases get, there's more coming without a doubt in my mind.
Yeah, so just to add on to that, just so you guys are aware of some of the sales, before I'm just asking questions and not giving you data, what a horrible host. So Resident Evil 4 and Monster Hunter Rise Sunbreak sold around 3.75 million and 5.45 million units. However, the vast majority of its sales came from catalog titles, which Capcom defines as games released in the previous fiscal year or earlier. Those sales, which it says were mostly made up of titles in the Monster Hunter, Resident Evil, and Devil May Cry series, reached 29.3 million units, exceeding the 24 million units in the previous fiscal year. So we're looking at things like Monster Hunter Rise Sunbreak, Resident Evil 4, Monster Hunter Rise, Resident Evil 2, Resident Evil 3, Resident Evil 7 Biohazard coming to other things. And they also had some mobile content that was highlighted. I'm currently playing Street Fighter Duel. That's not them, but they're partnered with that. Capcom said 12.4 million in sales is made up of new titles as well, including Mega Man Battle Network Legacy Collection, Resident Evil Village Gold Edition, Monster Hunter Rise Deluxe Edition, Capcom Arcade Second Stadium, and Capcom Fighting Collection. 89.4% of its game sales during the 12 months were digital, and 19.7% were sold in the native Japan, which counts for 8.2 million. Other than Monster Hunter Rise Sunbreak and Resident Evil 4, some of the top sellers were Monster Hunter Rise and Resident Evil 2 and Resident Evil 3. So they definitely know what's selling. So you know what's next? Resident Evil 5. Resident Evil Code Veronica. A bunch of more Resident Evil games. Because that's where your cash is coming from.
Especially like the diehard Resident Evil fans that want Code Veronica to get another chance. I hear that sentiment often. By the way, I didn't even mention Monster Hunter. That's going to continue making extreme cash for them.
Yeah.
How many times they release an existing version or a new version.
So... all of you have PS5s, right?
Yes.
All right, quick, fun question. Don't hurt my feelings with the answer. So some people, there's a funny little tweet over at Polygon saying that some people are going to be finding it hard to find something to do with their PlayStations now that Tears of the Kingdom is out. And so I pose to you guys, what's one fun thing you'll be doing with your PlayStation while you're not playing it?
I will have it, what I have been doing it for. I just have it for YouTube in the background to listen to stuff while I'm playing Tears of the Kingdom. For example, I did not watch that live Treehouse that came out before the game actually came out, but I figured, I'm playing a bunch of Tears of the Kingdom today. I'll put it in the background while I play, see what they were doing while I'm playing it.
Gabe said he uses his as a nightlight. Spoilers.
Sometimes it's a nightlight when it's on rest mode if I'm downloading a Fortnite update or something. But right now it is currently my headset holder and my melatonin holder.
Kelly, what's your PlayStation 5 currently doing?
Well, I'm not playing Tears of the Kingdom, but this is what I always use my PlayStation 5 for. Is just for like Netflix and watching TV. We don't play games on it. It's very expensive Chrome
streaming service. Yes. Oh my gosh, yeah. Guys, it's rough out here on these streets for PlayStation. Well,
to be fair though, I still use my PlayStation. It's just that's a lie. I haven't used it since last Thursday. Actually, Jarrell, you want to know what I was playing before Tears of the Kingdom on Thursday?
Overwatch.
No, I was playing Final Fantasy VII Remake.
No way!
I put in, I think, a good 3 hours.
Why?
Playing it again. Because I was like, to honest to God, I could, like, I'm sitting down, and I'm like, oh, let me play a game or something. I was like, there's nothing I want to play. I want to play Tears of the Kingdom. But I was like, you know what? I yell at Jarrell for not finishing Breath of the Wild. Let me do some.
And I did finish Breath of the Wild.
Yeah, he did, finally. But yeah, I was like, I'm going to play Final Fantasy.
Why did you not tell me?
Because I was actually low-key trying to beat it until I looked up how many hours it takes to beat. Like, I was trying to beat it before Thursday and be like,
oh, no.
Guys, look what I've been... Yeah, but I had 8 hours when I... in the last time I saved, and I looked and it's like...
Oh, my God.
40 hours or something. I was like, damn it.
That is, like, my favorite game. Yeah, we can have a lot of conversations about it that I won't go into right now because I'm going to yell at Kelly for also not finishing it.
My PS4 is on my desk now. I finally set up my PS4 in here so I can actually play it or upload the save data and put it on my PS5.
Okay. That's
so I'm on where the we start. Way.
Okay. Okay. That's fair. That's where we start. That's fair. I cannot ask for more. So since we're talking about... Final Fantasy 7 that I can't believe Gabe started because he had this whole little boner about how he's not going to play the game until the... You're right. Whatever. I'm moving on. So Square Enix wants to release more higher quality games starting with Final Fantasy 16. Forspoken was arguably promoted too much. Critically acclaimed Octopath Traveler 2 wasn't promoted enough and hasn't been mentioned since, and a ton of titles were dropped on Switch last year with no room to breathe. Final Fantasy 16 is coming. Final Fantasy 7 Remake possibly at the end of the year. Part 2 is coming. And after financial calls, Square Enix wants to increase revenue by increasing subscriptions to Final Fantasy 14. They have agreed to work on high-quality games, but most of their indies and smaller studios have done the best. Do you guys think this is a good decision to make for them as a company?
I think they've been listening to the podcast. Because everything you talked about, we complained about. Their games had no room to breathe. There was one game after another.
They didn't promote Octopath Traveler 2 enough. It's a great game.
Really
critically acclaimed, great game. And you have not seen or heard from it since it launched.
Yeah, like,
nothing.
It launched and these are the scores.
It's gone.
Like, oh, look, the game launched. Here are the scores, and that's it.
Yeah,
that's it. They did their accolade trailer like a week and a half, and that's it. The game doesn't exist anymore.
There's really, really great indie game called Paranormasite that like everyone should play. It's so good.
But they ain't talking.
You haven't
about
heard
it.
Of it.
Sure
but,
heard yeah. about it.
Okay, you haven't heard of it.
But yeah, I mean,
they promoted the shit out of Forspoken to the point nobody wanted to see it anymore.
That's awesome because they were showing the same thing over and over again. That's
awesome. And they were showing that, like, their promotions are really, really bad. So, yeah, what do you guys think they do? August 2022. What?
What?
What the hell was that? No, some Kingdom Hearts mobile thing come in August 2022.
Oh, that was the Dark Road conclusion.
I think. Oh, okay. You're right.
Yeah.
So, what the hell is this?
The hell is what?
This other Square Enix thing. I don't know what this is. Something else. All right, go ahead. Kingdom Hearts 4, where's that?
That's what I was going to say. They do have the titles to, I guess, go by what they just said.
Final Fantasy 9 Remake. Oh my god, Final Fantasy Pixel Remaster 1 through 6. Got really good review scores. Another one, Theater Rhythm, got really good review scores. Like, Square is doing really, really well as far as game reviews for the first half of this year. And, what? Like, they're still putting out, music packs, but, like, you don't hear anything about these games anymore.
I just got a download for the music pack the other day, because I bought the season pass. Like, I think Chrono Trigger music came out today. I ain't playing that right now. I'm playing Tears of the Kingdom, but it's there. but yeah, I wouldn't have known that the Chrono Trigger pass came out today if my Switch hadn't updated.
Yeah.
And I saw a tweet from one person on my timeline saying, I'm going to take a quick break from Tears to play this pack, and then I'm going back. So... Yeah, that's to your point. They're not like really advertising this at all. I feel like the reviews speak for themselves. These are good games that are coming out. But the problem is one, what we talked about already, they're not getting spaced out enough, so they're not getting enough time to breathe. I do know people, you know, because Theater Rhythm and Octopath Traveler 2 came out the same month. So there are people that
And that was right after Crisis Core.
Correct, right after Crisis Core. So, you know, people still have to finish Crisis Core. Like, they're releasing good games, but they're not giving enough time to breathe. And by extension, they're not getting the same marketing that they normally would. Like, Nintendo is very good about spacing out their games. Well, for the most part, there's been some times where they...
Oh, I'm sorry, Brandon. Really quick, before I forget, it's called Kingdom Hearts Missing Link. Sorry. Keep going.
Yeah, it's the Missing Link. Oh my gosh, it's a collab with Nintendo.
Ha! That was dumb.
Anyway, that was bad.
No, was it?
I said that wasn't bad.
That's what I thought you said that was bad.
No, I said that wasn't bad. No, let me check. It was good. Anyway, so Square Enix needs to get better at spacing out their games because they review it along the way. It's like, it's okay, Square, if you're done with the game, to sit on it for a while till it's ready to release. So
no, because they do that too. Like, that's the problem. They also do that. Like, They just need it.
So they haven't mastered how to sit with the game in an appropriate amount of time.
They haven't mastered it.
And they can't market effectively because they're, like, doing, like, two games at the same time. It's just, like...
And that's another problem, right? Because you have Naoki Yoshida, who is, you know, the director of Final Fantasy XIV, who's also directing Final Fantasy XVI, who's then going to go back to Final Fantasy XIV, and then you have Tetsuya Nomura, who's doing Final Fantasy VII Remake, but also working on Kingdom Hearts 4. It's like you have the same people doing all your really, really big projects, and then, according to this financial call, you're stressing... the amount of subscriptions and money that you're making from FF14. Okay, FF14 is really, really good. We get it. However, it is really hard to sustain MMO financials. I shouldn't say that. I should say it's hard to increase revenue year over year without expansions, if that makes sense. Because, like, you know, my boyfriend just logged in to play Final Fantasy XIV, and he was like, all right, I'm caught up on the story. There's nothing for me to do. And then he did not renew his subscription, right? That's a very individual viewpoint, because obviously people are playing MMOs. I mean, Kelly has not stopped playing, so, like, obviously people are playing MMOs in different ways all the time. But I just think it's so not great to focus so much money on, you know, your single entity of an MMO and hope for the best. Like, and then having the same people working across different mediums to do different games. Like, this guy just came back from a media tour for Final Fantasy 16, and the latest patch for FF14 just dropped, and there's a, I don't know if you saw this, Kelly, but there's a, There's a group of people who just did the latest raid. I don't remember what it's called. Without healers, and they beat it, and it was freaking awesome. But yeah, you just like there. I feel like there's so much, and then they refolded the Luminous Productions group back into Square because of Forspoken. But then, like, I forgot what game it was that I talked about on the podcast that I said looks exactly like Forspoken. Oh, I think it was Final Fantasy 16. I was like, this game looks like Forspoken. Anyway, I don't know what they do.
Again, though, they do have the upcoming titles of their bigger games to, I guess, hold that statement over for a bit. But at the same time, it's like you guys are saying, like, all their little games are doing great too. And it's like, maybe the problem isn't that they're not doing great. It's like Drell's been saying, your promotion about it sucks. Like
Harvestella, another one that we didn't hear about at all.
Yeah, and actually, they didn't really speak about Harvestella until like a week after it was released already. It's like it's too late now.
And after that, that was it.
And there's a couple of games. What was it called? Valkyrie.
Yes.
They announced the game, and I was like, oh, I want to get that.
They dropped a demo, I think, and then that was it. Like, you didn't hear about it.
Yeah, and then
the game
came out. I don't know when the game came out. And all of a sudden, I went on the PS, the PlayStation store the other day, and I'm looking. I'm like, oh, you know what? They're having deals. I'm like, Valkyrie Chronicles, when the fuck did they release that?
Exactly.
It's like, you know, maybe the problem, again, is it your little game. It's you just suck at promoting stuff.
Yeah. Like, their marketing team's got to get it together.
Game Informer did a better job of promoting the Dio Field Chronicle than Square Enix did.
Facts.
Like I remember Wesley, when he was doing coverage for that game, was like talking about it a lot, saying how much he loved it. I was like, damn, you are talking more about this game than Square Enix has done in their entirety of its
Which, shout out to Wesley for the cover story of Final Fantasy 16 over at Game Informer. That shit is great. He flew for anyone who does not know, he flew out to Tokyo to play some Final Fantasy 16 and talk to the developers. And he came back and worked on the cover story for Final Fantasy 16, and it looks amazing. So shout out to Wesley, friend of the podcast. He's doing very well for himself over at Game Informer. We love you, Wesley. I'm gonna get him back on the podcast so he can talk all about his trip to Tokyo and playing Final Fantasy 16 and talking to Yoshida and the rest of the developers. Anyway, moving right along to the last story. Overwatch 2. So, I will do a very quick, rundown of Overwatch 2. Overwatch 1, released in 2016. One-time payment, not a games-as-a-service game. You just, like, well, not one that you have to pay for. You just log on, play with your friends, log off. Free heroes every time they had an update, etc. Then, Blizzard decided to make Overwatch 2. And Overwatch 2 is no longer free to play. It is now games as a service, and you technically can play for free, but it has a battle pass. So if you want a new hero now, you have to either play a long time to unlock them, or you can buy them through a battle pass. It's the same formula as Fortnite. And one of the reasons the developers said that they needed to go from Overwatch to Overwatch 2 is because they were implementing a bunch of single-player PvE modes, which included taking characters, giving them brand new abilities, making them they got like RPG tables of abilities you could choose, and a bunch of other stuff that they were like, yeah, we can't do this with Overwatch 1. We have to make a whole new game and like change it for everybody because you guys don't understand. It's going to be a brand new experience that you can play single player with different hero missions, replayable co-op. I'm reading it off the thing. They had a bunch of stuff. And just yesterday, I believe, they came out and said that all that's been scrapped. So Overwatch 2 is now basically just Overwatch 1, but now you got to pay for a battle pass.
It's worse than Overwatch 1.
Worse than Overwatch 1. Okay. And people are very, very upset about this. They showed off a roadmap, and they talked about the PvE elements that were still coming. However, 3 years of development, because they announced this 3 years ago, 3 years of development have essentially been scrapped without a real explanation to players as to what happened and why. With the loss of the PvE version promised, I want to make it like a more broad conversation, and of course, because Gabe plays Overwatch, if you want to go more nuanced, you totally can. If a game company that, let's say you're playing a game, if a game company said that they have to make a sequel to this game because the changes they're going to make are so big, it's going to take at least 3 years to implement those changes, and then 3 years later, they say that they're not doing the changes anymore, how do you think that company should be held accountable?
Man, the first question is, who's going to hold them accountable? Because obviously, us as players can't really do anything about it.
I mean, we could all stop playing Overwatch.
We could.
But we won't.
I never started.
There you go. Fair.
Yeah, but like, I don't know. That's such a shitty thing to do.
Well, do you think it's fair to hold this against them?
I absolutely do. Like, I'm sorry. I'm never going to believe anything Blizzard says again. Especially in regards to anything Overwatch related. Because that, come on, man. You can't promise this whole new experience for a game that was doing really good. Right? Overwatch was doing really good. It had its peaks, it had its lows, but it was, regardless of all that, before they decided to start transitioning into Overwatch 2, it was doing really good for itself. It was a good game, if you like that type of game, whatnot. But to go ahead and make such a big deal, because one of the things was, like, they gave us this great cinematic. You know, we got that cinematic of Winston, May, and Tracer landing in Paris to fight Omnix. You know, and Genji came out, and everyone was like, oh my gosh, like, yeah, like, and it gave you that sense of, like, what they're going to do with PvE is going to be so good. And, like, you know, and then they kept talking about it, and then people went to BlizzCon, and they were able to see actual footage of the skill tree, of some of the missions you were going to do as the heroes and whatnot. You know, how the heroes work together and whatnot. And, you know, we kept hearing about it. And then finally Overwatch 2 launches. And it's like, where's the PvE? And it's like, oh, you know, it's still coming.
It's coming.
We're working on it. Yeah, we're working on it. It's coming. We're working on it. Don't worry about it. And, you know, the hype is still there. It's like, okay, you know, we switched over to Overwatch 2. A lot of us were a little disappointed on some of the, you know, big differences they made in it. But we're here with the PvE. The PvE is going to come. Season 1 finally comes. And then Season 2. And it's like, okay. You know, we're still waiting, and they're still telling us it's coming. We're working on it. It's coming out. It's, you know, it's coming together. Season 3 comes. No, season 4, I believe. And they tell us, you know, that the roadmap shows PvE coming in season 7 at the latest. Well, that's where kind of everyone was like, wait a minute. Why is it coming so late? Because these aren't short seasons. You know, it's not a 1 month type of season thing. I think it runs for about a month and a half, 2 months. I'm not quite sure. And then Blizzard kind of stopped talking about the PvE. They're like, yeah, it's coming season 7, and they stopped talking about it. And then they come yesterday, and they're like, all that hype we gave you guys, yeah, it's thrown out the window. Like, that's such a shitty thing to do, you know. And there's even people, a lot of people, the content creators from the Overwatch community, that they're like, they knew the PvE wasn't going to come, and they kept stringing along. So it's like, I'm gonna hold that against Blizzard for as long as I play any of their games.
Fair. Kelly or Brandon, same question. If there's a game that you're playing and the company promises something 3 years later and then they just drop it, what do you think happens then? How would you feel about it? Is it fair? Do you hold it against them? Do you think, okay, no, there's some issues going on? How do you feel?
This is such a unique situation because, again, You two kind of covered it already, but, like, the whole point that this online live service game was going on for as long as it was, but had to get this mandatory sequel/update, was because of this mode that ultimately didn't come.
Yep.
It kind of asks the questions, like, why did they even bother to make the sequel in the first place if it wasn't even going to happen, right? And just, look, here's the thing. It happens. Sometimes features that you want to implement don't come out. And if you've never told the public it wasn't going to happen, then it's not even something they're even going to worry about. And sometimes you do announce a thing that's going to happen, but it doesn't happen. But here's the thing, and Gabe said this very well. They hype this up.
Yeah.
This was not just like, we announced this once and hope people forgot. They were gung-ho. This was the modus operandi of Overwatch 2's very existence, and then it got canceled. So then it just like, well, it's just, I don't know if there's any other game that could like can be even comparable to that, if I'm being perfectly honest. Like, what other game could like be running for as long as it does, then get a sequel that promises like one big key feature that doesn't? I don't even know another game that could even do that. And it definitely should puts like Gabe said, it's very good. It's going to be very difficult to trust Blizzard on their word now if they were willing to cut something that was so requested for. And we got this recently, by the way, with not to such a big extreme, obviously, but with Halo Infinite, when they cut the couch co-op mode, I think it was.
And I said,
we're not actually, we're that, what they said, yeah, it's coming later. They said, you know, we're not people that can play. So, you know, there's precedent, but I know a lot of people are mad about that one, and deservedly so, but the reality is there probably was as much a big percentage of people that are playing couch co-op. Man, Overwatch has been a huge franchise since its launch in 2016. There were hella people excited to do some PvE with all these beloved characters that they've known for like 9 years now. So, yeah, this is a big deal, this getting cut. Oof with capital, all three capitals.
I'm just being very cynical. The only thing I will say about this is that no one can convince me now that Overwatch 2 was not just a cash grab. Because Overwatch 1, you had to pay $60 and you got all the content all the time. If you chose to buy loot boxes, you could. However, you didn't have to because you would get them through just regular gameplay. Now, they have a battle pass situation, and it's one of those where you've got to play a ton to unlock a character, or you're going to have to literally shell out $20 every season, and this is the best way to make money. I mean, Fortnite makes a bunch of money from it. Overwatch is probably also making a bunch of money from it. So it's just like a strategy to change your business practice, right? Instead of selling this one game, $60, and having people play this one game for 7 years and not making money off of them, because that's what they were doing, we're going to switch to Overwatch 2 and charge these bitches every season. And that's how you get players who have already purchased to continue to spend money.
Yep. So in the end of the day, the sequel was a change to their monetary infrastructure as opposed to a genuine new feature that would warrant a sequel, which is shitty.
Yeah. So because it's after 9, I'm not going to have time to do our Zelda conversation today. Sorry.
Yeah.
It's okay. That just gives you all more time to play it so that we could talk about it later. I do have one more thing to say, though. The Legend of Zelda Tears of the Kingdom has sold over 10 million copies worldwide in its first 3 days.
Which I believe makes it the fastest selling Legend of Zelda launch, right?
It does. It does. That's
pretty impressive. Like, just real quick thoughts on that. Yeah, that Zelda hype has been at an absolute fever pitch. Not since Breath of the Wild has it been this high. And I think the only thing that could have, I think Breath of the Wild possibly could have also reached this record. The only thing was, you know, it was also a launch title with the Nintendo Switch. A lot of people were like, I can't get the Switch just yet, so I'm going to hold off on it. So, lifetime sales, Breath of the Wild did really well. But with Tears of the Kingdom, you know, it had the benefit of a lot of people already owning the Switch, so they could just go right into it. And by that point, already having played Breath of the Wild. So I think all the recipes for this game to have a really good success were there, and it's performed, and the numbers speak for themselves.
Gabe provided me a wonderful breakdown. 4 million in US sales, 2.4 million in JP, and 3.6 million for the rest of the world. 10 million in the first 3 days. And as you mentioned, it is the fastest selling game in the history of the Legend of Zelda series. Do you guys know what other game from Nintendo sold 10 million in the first 3 days? Do you remember?
Animal Crossing.
No. Actually, maybe.
Maybe. Scarlet and Violet?
It was Pokemon Scarlet and Violet. Yes, Pokemon Scarlet and Violet also sold 10 million in the first 3 days of launch. So Nintendo is really just... Why are you looking like that, Gabe? You forgot? I can't hear you.
My bad. I was muted the entire time I was talking shit. Fuck, what's the game's name, though? I can't remember the game name. Sword and Shield. I thought they also did...
Oh, you know what? They probably did. Like, I don't know. They probably did.
Some good numbers.
And Animal Crossing?
I mean, I don't know. I just only remember Scarlet and Violet. It could also be Animal Crossing.
Maybe not in the first 3 days.
Yeah,
maybe
that's not. Yeah, because that was that did come out like right at the beginning of the pandemic.
And it took time for everybody to, you know, get into it. So yeah, my final conversation: Zelda, Jedi Survivor, Hogwarts Legacy. All of these games are hitting gargantuan sales numbers with no multiplayer or live service. Is this absolutely going to affect the games that we see in the coming 3 or 4 years? This is a Twitter post from Del Walker, and now I'm asking you guys. With all these games coming out, all these single-player games coming out that aren't focusing on multiplayer at all, do you think we're finally going to see a shift in the way that games are presented to us? Because, you know, Redfall was the last co-op multiplayer game, and look how that turned out. And now we've got Jedi Survivor that's doing really well. The Legend of Zelda Tears of the Kingdom, of course, is doing well. Final Fantasy 16 on the horizon. All of these games are moving away from that multiplayer style. Do you guys think that's what we're gonna see going forward? Because PlayStation having a presentation on Wednesday, and we've seen some of the stuff that they have coming out, and a lot of those are also pretty much single player titles, except for Exoprimal, which shouldn't be single player because you should be able to dress in mech suits and shoot dinosaurs with your friends, because why else would you do it alone? What do you guys think? Are we gonna see the emergence of more single player titles coming up?
I really hope so.
Why? Because you ain't got no friends?
Aside from that, asshole.
Just kidding. It was a joke.
No, it's just, I don't know. I feel like a lot of developers have lost their way trying to make, you know, multiplayer and live service games. Just everything that comes out is just like, we look at it and it's like, you're doing a cash grab. That's what you're doing. Like, why do I need to pay for the game and then pay for all this other stuff at the same time? You know, and obviously there's a few games that, you know, they're free, but it's still a live service that you have to pay for this stuff. But at the same time, it's like, I don't know. I generally feel like a lot of developers have, again, they've lost their way trying to do multiplayers and almost a cash grab again, multiplayer and live services. So it's, you know, if they see single player games that, you know, are not focused on all that stuff, you know, maybe we'll start getting a plethora of really good games.
A plethora. I was making these announce animations because you just reminded me, like, you said that perfectly. It seems like developers have lost their way, and two great examples. One of them is Arkane, who has not made a bad single-player game at all, and then their first multiplayer game is really, really bad. And the other one is, Brandon, remind me, the developers of Arkham Knight. They're making that new,
that is Rocksteady making, Suicide Killer.
Yes. Rocksteady, who got like lauded for the amazing way that they created the Arkham series, and now they're just like, no one wants their new live action Batman, what's it called, whatever it's called, the bad one that they keep having to delay because, like, yes, that they keep having to delay because nobody wants it because everyone says it looks bad. It's like, yes, it seems like developers are going after this whole, like, yeah, let's do multiplayer, and they don't know what they're doing, or they don't know how to do it right. And that's, I guess, why we had that conversation about PlayStation needing a good multiplayer game to come out on their end, because they don't have one and they won't have Call of Duty.
Very true. Oh. Yeah, so, my thoughts on this, we for a while, I want to say, like, during the PS2, PS3 era, we had a lot of, we had both, I guess. We had a lot of, like, single-player focused games that also had, like, tacked-on multiplayer.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Last of Us Part 1, or the original Last of Us when it came out on PS3, you know, obviously it's very well-known for its single-player story, but also had a multiplayer mode, because that was just a trend of games back then. It's just, like, include a multiplayer to give it a little additional longevity. And it was not uncommon for games with focused multiplayer, like a shooter, to also have a campaign mode to give people that single-player experience as well. But I feel like, going back to our earlier story about Overwatch 2, it cutting out its planned PvE mode is kind of emblematic of where we're at now with games, where I feel like, going forward, games that offer rich single-player and multiplayer are going to become farther and fewer in between. I think games,
really?
like you said, for games like Tears of the Kingdom and Jedi Survivor, hyper-focused single-player games doing as well as they have, I feel like going forward, developers are either going to choose. I don't think they're going to try to do both. I think they're either going to try to do like this really, really good single player game that's, you know, for you to play by yourself and maybe talk to your friends about, or you'll get your online live service game that is exclusively meant to be played online. They won't even bother with a single player mode. I know, like, I played, I think it was like one of the new Battlefield games. It was on PS Plus last month and I played it. Very shocked that it didn't have a campaign mode, even though the intro of that game had like a really cool premise for why you're fighting, but then, you know, that's just a prologue to you just going into multiplayer matches and shooting other people, basically. So I just think that's going to be the trend. I think, you know, Elden Ring is a good example of a game that did both. It's a big single player game, but you could play that multiplayer to go around that big open world. But I don't think games like that are going to be as common.
I'm not sure that's a good example.
It's maybe it isn't, but the option was there nonetheless.
Yeah,
and that's kind of what I'm getting at. Like, and even for the games that will have both, there will definitely be one that is prioritized over the other. Like Elden Ring is first and foremost a single player game, but with the multiplayer being an optional thing that you could do. But yeah, I think it's just gonna developers gonna choose. We're not losing live service games anytime soon. I think those are going to continue, but the success of single player games cannot be ignored, and I think that is still going to continue. It's just rarely shall the two meet.
All right, so I'm going to use the last 4 minutes to give you guys a Nintendo Switch quiz, okay? Mm-hmm. Yay! It's going to be so fun! I love fun things. All right, so, it's very easy. Don't worry. It's not a hard quiz. I would be embarrassed if you guys don't ace this. So, I'm going to just rotate. Actually, I'll ask you guys. Do you guys want to choose who answers each question, or should I just rotate and ask you?
Rotate and ask. That would make it more interesting.
All right. You sure? Yeah. Are you sure? Because if it's a question that one of you knows and the other one doesn't, only one person gets the answer. All right, whatever. Question one. It's too late. Question one is for Gabe. What year did the Nintendo Switch first come out?
2017.
There you go. Yeah, I knew you got that one.
All right, next question's for Kelly. You can use a Nintendo Switch to turn on your TV. True or false?
True.
That is correct. Brandon, what is the current
Really?
Yes.
Yeah, you can.
Yes. Yeah. Oh my god. I should have asked you that.
I never knew.
Brandon, what is the current most popular Nintendo Switch game? Pokemon Sword, Dark Souls Remaster, Super Mario All-Stars, or Touch the Hutch? Not currently. This is old. But out of those four, what do you think is the most popular Nintendo Switch game?
You said the first one. Repeat the other three, please.
Dark Souls Remastered, Super Mario All-Stars, or Touch the Hutch?
I feel like it's got to be Pokemon Sword and Shield.
Correct! Dark Souls. Kelly, which of the following is not a Nintendo Switch game? Cuphead, The Battle of Cats, Find Your Nan, or Kirby?
Wow, even I would have had trouble with that one.
A is Cuphead, B is The Battle of Cats, C is Find Your Nan, and D is Kirby.
Find Your Nan.
That is correct. Gabe, how many games are recently available for Nintendo Switch? 1,935, 2,060, 3,950, or 6,572?
What was the third option?
3,950. This is Gabe's.
3,950. It's gotta be B or C.
This game, by the way, this is old. To be fair, this quiz is old.
How old, though?
Very old. So
I need a year.
I don't know. You know what? I'm going to skip that question because this is an old quiz.
What was the answer?
I don't know. The question is, in The Legend of Zelda, what is the main character called? Zelda, Solid Snake, Link, or Donkey Kong?
It's Link.
Brandon.
Yeah.
What is the region called where Pokemon Sword and Shield are set?
That is Galar.
Kelly, what is the raccoon salesman called in Animal Crossing New Horizons?
Thank God. Do I have options?
I will give you them if you want them. Do you want them?
Yeah, please.
Okay. Michael Crawford, Grappling Graham, Sir Edmund Belvedere, or Tom Nook?
I'm gonna go with Tom Nook.
Okay. Gabe, how many Nintendo Switch consoles?
I thought it might be Timmy and Tommy, so I think
fair.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, this is Gabe's. Gabe, the Nintendo Switch console contains enough synthetic oil to ruin 3 wedding dresses. True or false?
That is... Ah, shit. What kind of question is this?
I have no idea.
How would you classify ruined? Like, one dress? Like...
That is a good question. That is a good question.
I'm going to go with true just for the meme.
All right, the answer is false. Good job, guys. Overall, you passed. How do you feel? You passed and you ended just in time because it's 9:20. Just in time. I love playing games with you guys. They're so fun. Good job. You guys know a little bit about the Switch. And with that, that's it. Bye, everybody. Good night.